All right, what's good, folks? We're back. We've already seen people chirping us in the comments that this will be our last episode before March Madness. You're probably right. People thought we retired. We kind of did. But no, we're back. And we're gonna have Mario Little joining us here in 5 to 10 minutes. He's getting on here in a second. So he's going to join us. That should be a fun time. He's going to talk about this KU team. Probably talk about old KU teams. He played on some good ones. But me and B-Turn here starting it out. And I don't remember the last time we recorded, but I'm like,
we say that every show.
We have so much to talk about. But I think we got to start with, and I guess I'll just kind of give an overview of where I'm at right now as a Kansas fan. And my main takeaway is, one, I think everyone's in agreement. This team is awesome. They're fun. They're the most typical Bill Self team. They were, you can tell, handpicked by Bill Self to be his team, and they're playing like it. Now, Melvin Council is obviously awesome. We got to talk about his Saturday night, one of the most absurd performances I think we've ever seen. But then we'll also talk about the Darren Peterson saga that's just kind of like, I don't know, it sucks, and we'll get to it. But I don't want to start there. Let's first start with how are you feeling about this team? Because I'm like having fun watching Kansas basketball again for the first time in years, and it's awesome.
No, yeah, we talked about it before the show, how fun it's been to watch these guys. And there's multiple dudes I could think top of my head, Trey White, Melvin Council, just two dudes that are perfect fits under Bill. And I think we talked about the portal and how I'm sure it is tough to not go after the big fish in the portal. You're KU, you got money, Bill Self, great history. So I'm sure he is able to pull the big names out of the portal, but there's been bigger names that haven't fit here, haven't played a ton under Bill. Talk about AJ Storr, Rylan Griffin. We're excited about those guys, but probably weren't a fit here. And now you go get Trey White, Melvin Council, who we knew wasn't the most elite scorer, most elite shooter. Maybe we're wrong on that, but we knew he'd be a fit because he plays hard. He defends. You heard Bill talking about him the other day, how he could go 40 minutes a night. Like, he just wants to play, doesn't want to come out of the game. And those are the guys that we've grown to love under Bill and at KU. So I've really enjoyed watching them compete. Even in Vegas, you go Tennessee game. God, it's been that long since we recorded. But Tennessee game, you go in not with a ton of expectations, but they come out, battle, win that game. I know the UConn game didn't go their way, but they were in it till the end. And then – obviously, at NC State, you're a dog on the road. You weren't sure what you were going to get from DP, and they go into Raleigh and compete. And Melvin Council had one of the best games in Kansas history, which is crazy to say because they've had so many of those.
It really was. Like, I was thinking back on, like, obviously it's one of the best performances of the Bill Self era just in any game, but it's also one of the most, like, random good performances ever, which I would rank up there with like Elijah Johnson at Iowa State, obviously, like that came out of nowhere. Do you remember that random game at Sprint Center? David McCormick was a sophomore and I think he had like 28 points. Anyone remember that game?
Was it UMKC?
Yeah, I don't know. It was something hilarious, but he just kept scoring at will.
There was random games that he started that season. I think he started, I forget how many. I know Isaiah Moss did too. But, yeah, that was when
Self started him and Doak the first, like, 12 games of that season, which was
– that was when we were, like, peak talking about Dave just shooting the craziest pull-ups. I remember that one at Rupp from, like, 18 feet that hit the backboard and the back of the rim, just a laser.
When I fell in love with that guy.
Won us a national title. Should have been MOP.
Facts. But that was up there as one of the more random performances.
It's got to be the most random. If I told you before the season that Melvin, or even to start the season when he was just launching, I mean, he took some crazy shots against Duke at the Garden. Like, we've seen it all season pretty much. And that's, I give that dude credit because he's not afraid to pull from anywhere. But if I told you even after the UConn game that Melvin Council was going to have a 36-point night this season, you would laugh at me so hard.
Well, the crazier thing is that he made 9 3-pointers. Like, I could, you know, 36, I could say, eh, a lot of free throws, maybe a lot of layups. I don't know. Him making 9 threes is so funny.
With Will Wade sagging off of him. Like, they were daring him to shoot.
Before we recorded, like, that first 10 minutes of the game, he was shooting every possession. And you're sitting there like, this is getting kind of ridiculous, Melvin. Like, chill out. But then they started to go in. And Will Wade did not change his philosophy. And my God, it was hilarious and so fun to watch.
And that's going back to him just firing. Like, he did not hesitate one single time. I think he's – I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he started the game off 2 for 6 from three, and he finished seven for his last 9 from three, like 9 for 15. And then he went 3 for 6 last night against Towson.
Yeah.
So he's, what, 10 for his last 15 from three?
Yeah. I mean –
And all-time name.
Yeah, oh, Melvin, elite name. He had to, like, get close. I mean, he was like a 30% shooter at St. Bonaventure, so he wasn't going to keep shooting as bad as he was. It was just a hilarious, what's it called, regression, I don't know, you know, back to getting to where he actually belongs from an average standpoint.
He was 29%. Last season, and he was 27 the year before.
Yeah.
He's sitting at 35 right now, but I remember, I think his numbers from three before, I mean, was he under like 20%?
It was before close.
The NC State game.
It was very close. Somebody, if anyone knows that, I would love to hear what he was going. It was something like, I can't remember how many threes he had made the whole year going into NC State.
5 for 27, 19%.
Good God.
He was 35% from the floor in general, 40 for 115. He was shooting from the free throw. Well, he was 79%. And speaking of that, if he would have made front ends of the 1-1, we might be talking about a 40 ball. And which he gave us half a heart attack on both of those. Just the front end. I think
the thing that
I went up 2 scores on both.
The thing I couldn't stop thinking about during that whole like overtime was, this is awesome, but I will never be able to get over the fact that we could lose a basketball game in which Melvin Council made 9 3-pointers. Like, you have to win that game because you're not going to get that type of performance ever again. So you have to find a way to win. And thank God we did, because sneaky, the next few weeks, a lot of winnable games. Like, I really hope this team plays well on the road at UCF coming up and at, I think, Westphal. But, like, if they can win those games, they have Iowa State coming to town in a few weeks or, like, oh, close to a month. That could be a very fun and important basketball game if they continue to play well and win these upcoming games.
So they got, what, Davidson coming up, and then I don't really know what the upcoming schedule is, but no, the craziest shit about the NC State game is, yeah, I'm pissed at Melvin, like, the entire first half. I'm like, what is – and then that game goes into overtime, and I'm like, do not let anyone else touch the ball. Like, this is Melvin's game to win or lose. Just let him launch from the logo.
I know. I don't even remember, like – who else scored? And obviously, Flory scored in overtime. That was a good pass by Melvin. But, like, I was at a Christmas party, so I wasn't that locked in. But who else scored? Oh, there he is.
I'm just – hey.
Let's get him at it. Hold on. There you are. You hear us?
Yeah, I can hear y'all. Can you hear me?
Yep. All right. We finally delivered, folks. Mario Little has joined the pod just a little bit late. How are you?
Sorry.
How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing, man? Sorry about the
No, you're
delay,
good.
Man.
I haven't even told Ryan, but me and Rio were trying to figure out Twitter Live for like an hour last night. I was on Reddit, like searching. I was watching YouTube tutorials. I think Rio started like four different Twitter Lives because we were trying to like add each other in. So we would start the live to see if we could add.
And why couldn't you?
I don't think you can add someone into.
Do you have premium? I think we have to have like premium to do this on the podcast page, but I don't know.
Yeah, I do, but I don't know. For some reason, it didn't. I don't know. Just couldn't find the right buttons.
Rio, can you like turn your phone landscape wise so we see you?
Hold on. Wait,
why is that not doing it?
I got you. I got it. What about now?
There you go.
Can I get one of those zip ups?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, honestly, can't even fit it. It just looks good from the
that is
ribs
unbelievable.
Up.
You God. Can ship. You want to ship that to me?
You can't fit it, man. You're gonna be in there looking like. I can get you something though. I'll get back up there.
We were just talking about how Melvin counts as the best shooter in Kansas history.
Yeah, I mean, he got that type of confidence. You know, he put in that work. So. I'm glad to see it fall, though. You know, obviously KU needed that, especially the game before last, North Carolina State. So,
yeah.
What y'all been looking at, man? Talk to me. What y'all been looking at?
Well, how y'all feel? What we were talking about was like, you know, coming into this year, it was like everything was about Darren Peterson. And right. It felt like the only hope we had was Darren Peterson being the best player in the country, which I still think he hopefully could be. But the thing that has stood out to us and what we were talking about is like this team is just such a vintage Bill Self team, like with guys like Council and Trey White and even, you know, Flory Block. Flory's just having an athletic big compared to Hunter Dickinson. He had his positives, but like Flory's just a better fit for, I think, what Bill wants to do. So right. I don't know. This team's awesome. I obviously think we need DP back and we'll talk about that, but like, yeah, we love watching. It's been 2 years since we've really enjoyed watching a Kansas basketball team, and this team's awesome. Even though they struggle with offense and scoring at times, but they're still very, very fun.
No, for sure. Yeah, they are. They're good guys. They hang with each other more. I think Coach has said that in one of his press conferences. But just the energy, you know, just a lot of stuff they were able to kind of like establish early. Like, we need to talk more, we're longer. Coach was listening to people last year, you know, so he went out and recruited guys that can, you know, fit the bill. It's just about them getting more reps in and honestly just building on something. You know, when you build on like, all right, this is how we're going to defend, you know, and then a little bit of communication and then understanding, all right, what's your strongest points is the next step for those guys. So if I'm on a court with Cole, you know, Rosario, and he's in that 45, I'd rather him cut and then let a guy like Melvin or somebody more of a ball handler or creator fill up from the corner. And, you know, once they start getting to spaces like that, mentally like, hey, you're better here. You know, so let me be in a spot where I can be a receiver more so than a creator. Once you start getting that type of continuity and synergy with the team, those are the teams that are like middle of the pack or top of the, you know, the Big 12 or any conference. Those little small nuances.
Mm-hmm. We got to talk about like, the longer time goes on, obviously, the more worrisome it gets with Darren Peterson being out. And right. I think we all agree that for this team to truly reach its ceiling and like actually have a chance to win a national title, they probably need him healthy. But like, I don't know, as a former player, do you think this is getting awkward for the guys? Like at the point where it's like, wow, we're winning, we're playing really well without him. Or is it just something where it's like, this has been good for guys like Melvin and Trey White and to step up and take on a bigger role. And they're just knowing that, all right, when we get Darren Peterson back, this is going to be even better, but it's also going to be a very different team because it's just how they're going to play is going to be different than how they're playing right now.
Yeah. Good question. I think so far as like chemistry, you want to like be able to know like, all right, I'm at my best here. You're at your best there. So let's build on this. Like, but when you in and out of, rotations, it's tough. But mentally, for where these kids should be at now, because once you start getting paid and all this stuff, you kind of expect the expectation. So it's like, all right, if you in, we're a better team. If you're out, we're a different team. But you also give guys enough time to like, or more possessions to create or be a part of something like these games early, these Duke games, these North Carolina State games. It's like all, like I talked to a few guys on the team. I know you guys probably see me working with Peterson and all that, but I worked with a lot of those guys. So I'm still I still keep those conversations and communication. Yeah. So like I told a few players, I'm not going to say any names. It's all connecting. You know what I'm saying? It's connecting from where you could be, because where they were practicing it and how they were practicing, it was like, we're going to give it to DP and everybody get out of this way. Yeah. Which is tough because they're like crashing out on DP defenders. Like I'm about to crash out on this screen or whatever this possession is. And it's like making him play a certain way, right? So it's like, is he doing great at it? Yes, he's doing great. For a guy who's hasn't been really in practice as much, and for sure in the games, he's adjusting. He's not looking like I'm 100 miles per hour. He's not looking anything like that. But what it does is it enables Trey to play with the ball. Melvin to have like, hey, I don't have to just like pass it to Peterson and DP and get out the way. You know what I'm saying? So it helps Melvin to get his feel. I think Cole is better with Darren Peterson in there because all attention is on me. All you gotta do is play hard, catch the ball, be a receiver, not a creator. Right now, we can work on that in practice and all that, but right now we need you to be a receiver, catch and shoot, minimalize more from you creating. That's about it.
Like his shot's got to start falling. Like it looks too good.
At some
good.
Point, right? You got to just crazy. Like, yeah, it's getting out of hand. It's like, but he's supposed to be in 12th. I don't want to make any excuses. He's supposed to be in 12th grade. It's another thing that you got to like look at when you're in, when you're a coach. It's like, what am I looking at? Like, am I looking at you had a good weekend here? Or like, let me look at how you process the game. Like, with Kansas, the way they try to reverse the ball and get it to the third side, you got to be able to pass. So now I'm looking at passers. Can I dribble? Can a guy come off a ball screen and get it to the next side? So if I'm coach, I'm looking at stuff like that because I know who I am. Forget who you are, because once you get here, I'm going to try to probably make you into where I want you to be, which is something that coach does. So I'm looking at how can I process the game? How can a kid process the game? How could he get, can he get the ball to the second side, third side? Can he pass? So those type of things I think are big in recruitment for self, not just let me get a big name or the media is saying that you should do this. So, oh, we want this kid, you know? So Cole definitely should make more shots.
No, that's the thing with Cole is talking to people close to the program. And even I think I talked to you, like, just because there was so much unknown about the team. You get so many guys out of the portal, you haven't really seen them play. But that was one of the guys I think you said that I should be excited about, or we should be excited about, just his ability to shoot it. He's super athletic, and that he's been doing all the small things right. You think it's just one of those things where he's got to get more comfortable, more game action under his feet?
No, it's not more game action. I think it'd be something personal with him. It won't be like game. A guy who I think needs game is more game time action is the big kid, Paul. Forgot his name. I think he should get more time. I think last night was a perfect opportunity to look, Flo, whatever you're going to do, you need to do it fast because I need to get Paul in the game. He needs to be playing 15 minutes. Like the guards, whatever you're going to do, I need to get Cole Rosario in the game where he can get some like flow, because it's different between practice catching and shooting, or I'm in there catching and shooting like with the rest of the team with four other guys or whatever he's doing with Coach Dooley. It's a difference in speed, you know what I'm saying? And physicality. I done bumped a couple guys, I done closed out, I done ran up and down the court and didn't get the ball a few times. Now I'm catching and shooting. That's the difference between like make 60 makes in whatever how many minutes, 3 minutes, 55 makes in 3 minutes. It's a little different. So I would have been excited to see Paul get out there, Cole Rosario get out there. Like, Trey, I want y'all to be ultra aggressive because I need these guys to get in the game so they can get some feel.
That's the thing about this team is, like, we haven't even seen Rosario really do anything much yet. Like, he has not played at his full potential yet, and we know he can. Same with, like, Jaden Dawson, who I was very excited about. I felt like he was going to be a huge piece for this team, the shooting, him and Cole. And they both, I mean, Dawson's kind of battled injury a little bit, but, like, they both have not – really found their stride yet. Now, I'm sure at a certain point with the way Self kind of he finds his like seven or eight guys, and once has them, he doesn't run away from that. But I would love, I think this team becomes very different if you have a guy, either Rosario or Dawson, that can come in, make shots off the bench, and just add some more shooting. Because I think that's definitely a concern, as a lot of times it is the shooting from this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easily, like, if we sit here talking, if we can get that to be the best thing, right?
Yeah.
But reality is they're going to have to get it themselves, one. Two, it's a standard that you got to reach and practice with Coach Self before you get to the game. I don't know if you guys seen Tyrell Reed speak about this. Like, we had our games before the game when we were there.
Yeah.
Like, by the time we got to the game, we were only playing hard so Coach Self wouldn't get even more mad, you know what I'm saying? And the next day, so we was playing against him. We were never playing against a team unless it was maybe Big 12, Texas Championship or something like that. Then we'll be actually be playing against a team. Anything else, oh, we playing against Coach Self. So it's a standard that you got to reach and practice before it translates to the court. So when you see guys like five stars or MJ, remember MJ Rice and all these guys that will come here. It's like, even in what's the guy last year, number four, Rakeed or something like that.
Rakeed Passmore.
Yes. It's a standard that you got to reach in practice, and you got to keep it at that level before you even be able to process the stuff going in a real game. So guys like Jaden, he a guy that I speak with, and his motor is just a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Like, you see Cole Rosario motor up here, and he's trying to think so fast. Sometimes he's overthinking, not sometimes, a lot of times. But a guy like Jaden, who's been around college and he knows now his levels to being, it's a pro level, then it's like, are you actually in college level? Like, some of these programs, like, you know, you're in college. But when you get to Kansas, a Duke, or any of these type of, no, you're actually a pro now. And your mentality got to kind of be like that. So this is a standard. I got to get my body to a standard. So it's no like, because Coach Self is never going to teach all the other stuff because you don't have time. I'm not going to see you for 3 years, 4 years. I don't have time to let you grow like a Frank Mason or any of these guys. No, we need you now because next year you might leave us or we might depart from you. So it's a standard that you got to withhold. And physically, Cole has that. And Jaden just a little bit under there. But shot making, Jaden will make shots more than Cole, in just my opinion. But can you tell that, though?
Oh,
like, when Jaden is, like, he has to be at 120% for him to be like.
Well, and, yeah, I mean, what I always wonder with this, especially in, like, this new transfer portal world, it's like, I mean, you were recruited by Bill Self. I got to imagine, and you've heard stories, like, I got to imagine Bill Self makes it clear to guys when he recruits them, like, I'm going to push you. I'm going to make you play at the highest level, the hardest you've ever played. But then it still kind of surprises me, like a guy like AJ Storr, there was no way he was ever going to play at the level Bill Self wanted him to play from like a intensity and effort standpoint.
Right.
So do you think guys just don't fully realize what it takes when they commit to Kansas? Or is Self kind of a, you know, he's got to be a recruiter. He's got to be a salesman. Does he just think he can bring it out of them when they get here? And then some guys just don't have it.
It's like I said, when we recruiting, you have to recruit like what does Self like, and they do that to a certain extent, but sometimes people get desperate as well. Everybody's human, right? And yeah. Self, you know, I'm not about to be the head coach, the number one, obviously I'm assigned everything, but I'm not about to be the top recruiter here as well. So I got to trust my staff to like go out and get some people that meet, that fit the bill. One, two, certain guys, like, was one thing I do give Darren Peterson credit for. He would make his own decision, you know, obviously with the respect of his mom, father, and whoever else is in his camp. But he had a choice to go to choose a hometown, Ohio State, Kansas, whatever, right? But he, yeah, like, I want to go be coached by a guy, a Hall of Fame coach, and Bill Self. So it's like Coach Self is telling me this, but also my agent is telling me this. My mom is saying this. A guy who's my handler is saying, no, Kansas got the money, go to Kansas. Now, you forgot what Coach Self said to you. Like, hey, you have to bang, bang, bang. If yeah. not, we're going to find, you know, because the program has to move forward, not individual, not back of your name. It'd be Kansas has to move forward. So he always will let you know, like, hey, I'd rather just play with these guys that's going to play a certain way. So for AJ Storr, if he'd have been a better defender, he'd have been able to, like, do more on the court because I'm out yeah. there more. Now I can express my art instead of just, what are yeah. you saying? I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. So it's just about really just getting those reps out there and meeting the standard and keeping it there with Coach Self.
Yeah. Hey, we'll always have that Big 12 tournament quarterfinal game where AJ Storr, what do you score in that game, B-turn?
Was that the UCF game?
I don't know. He just randomly
was pretty good game that game. It was like 20-something, and then the next game he played good, I believe, versus Arizona. Yeah. But it wasn't the same. Self didn't have the same leash he had with him. Yeah. But then the first round of the NCAA tournament, play well as well.
Yeah.
And for me, what I was telling them as well, like, I mean, I, a lot of people don't know that I speak with the coaches a lot and players, not even just yeah. now, just since I've been, probably since 2011, I've been coming back, hooping with the team and doing a lot with the team. So we kind of built a trust and, you know, being a loyal KU guy, because everybody's not loyal that mm-hmm. played basketball there, right? So I would tell them, like, hey, the best way right now for just position you in right now is to be able to get everybody through, get everybody across the street. So if you got to give AJ Storr a little bit of leeway just for him to feel better about himself so you can get the best. Because what we're really trying to do is get the best out of the guys that we have there. So would it be a traditional way every time? No. You're not coaching Brandon Rush. You're not coaching Mario Chalmers or something like that. So guys like that. So sometimes you have to be like, all right, this is what I have. I have to coach the team that I have in front of me. Not, hey, this is what we do. Obviously, this is a standard, but this is what we do, but
yeah.
By me doing this, then the third with you, it may not work out for the team. So how can I get you to play your best? And I just think that's something that coach got to do because, hey, we're in this thing called the game and life that we got to continue to get better, right? Every day. Yeah. It's not like what I did yesterday. So I think that's a big thing for coach as well.
Yeah. So I guess with DP, obviously people are saying whatever they want to say. But can you just kind of touch on how competitive of a person he is?
He an old school guy. His mindset. He's not caught up into it. Like, I can't say all the details of what he has in his like contract or whatever, he, you know, it's a different time, right? But one thing I do know, he keep the main thing, the main thing. He cares about getting better, and he cares about competing. So he hurt, trust me. He trying to be out there. I don't really understand. Like, I know I had hamstring, but I never asked him anything about where his hamstring injury is. I know they were saying it was a quad thing. Me personally, looking at his body, and I know his diet as well, I think his he's a little bit too slim right now. He changed his diet because he's reaching and pushing for greatness outside of Kansas. And, you know, he talks about generational type of stuff. And his team expect generational type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Kansas is a crossroad for him, you know, where he's like a checkpoint, and his heart is in Kansas. And we were speaking in like October and September. The only thing he was talking about was trying to get Kansas to back to where the standard that they were. And he was like, I have big shoulders for that. So for me, I'm like, dang, you know, because as a player and how much they expect from him, you want to be prepared. And how you prepare is by being on the court. And it's just different between what he got to do and what somebody else got to do. So it's a lot of preparation in that. So I would commend him on being ready, because I know guys and NBA guys that were like, hey, I feel good, but I'm not in shape. So I'm like when you see a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George, then they're like be looking good, but they're not about to play for another week or two. It's because like, oh, I got to be in shape and I got to be able to handle a lot of stuff, not just get out there like it's the early 90s and I just need to play hard, because the game is different from I just need to play hard and give my heart. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's not like that. The team is better with them though.
Yeah.
I just, before this, me and Rye were talking, and just, I understand people being frustrated, you know, fans, they want to see him play. They saw the glimpses, they've heard everything
for sure
people have said about him. So, but me and Rye are just like, there's no point for him to be sitting. Like, he could cost himself money, whether it's first pick, fifth pick, whatever, or he didn't have to go to college, period. So everything I've heard is he's just hurt. Like, it's not that he doesn't want to be out there. I think he has a great grasp of the history at KU, like you talked about. He knows exactly what Bill wanted from him before he got here. So I just I get fans being frustrated, but the dude's hurt.
The thing is, like, everyone, I'll be honest, when he sat out versus UConn and self said, you know, he's 95%, I did have like that moment of like, whoa, is this actually going to be a thing where he truly just sits out for the rest of the year?
Right.
But he came back, he played against Missouri, clearly wasn't, like, you even said it, he's not probably going 100%. He's definitely not his full self. And then he plays 31 minutes at NC State. Like, he's clearly trying to play. Do I think he's probably being cautious? Yes, as he should. But I think all the stuff, like, we had that few week stretch where people really thought he was just kind of like purposely sitting out.
Right.
I think it's crazy. And the other thing about it is he's been compared to AJ DiBonsa. I never noticed. DiBonsa, is that how you say it?
DiBonsa. Yeah.
He's been compared to him for the last 2 years. Like, he's competitive and he wants to be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. And I think if he were to just not play the rest of the year, I really think he'd have a hard time going one over the other two guys if those guys end up playing the rest of the year and make a good, you know, have a good March tournament run and stuff like that. So I think he has to want to be out there. I'm a little shocked people still think he's purposely or just being lazy or, you know, not bought in.
No, he's one thing is he's definitely bought in. And I talked to him about, like, there's certain guys that was one and done here that they had clapped for him, you know, but then there's some beloved guys here. So what you do here, it does count, whether it's a year, whether it's 3 years. So I'm like, bro, when you leave here, you go have your career and all that, people are going to chant and cheer for you here about because of what you did here. Like, certain guys, are they proud to have Joel Embiid as an MVP and killing it in the league? Yeah, younger kids do, you know what I'm saying? But the people that really matter and that count, it's really about, like, what you did here, you know what I'm saying? So he understands that, and I'm just like, being immortal at Kansas is a little different, bro. He knows that. What I would say is Kyrie Irving, same thing. Is he J.J. Redick? No. Is he Jay Will? No. But was he able to be the number one pick? Yes, because A.J., they can do whatever they want to do. Caleb Williams, the kid from Duke, Carlos Boozer's son, Caden, or Cameron, whichever one. I think Cameron, it's Cameron. Yeah. Cameron, yeah. Boozer, Williams, all these guys. What you do in May, in June, that's what's going to really matter. Like, these games are great, but how you look, your preparation, obviously what you're saying in the media and all of that counts more, not more than college. Mm-hmm. But being ready now is great, but being ready when they actually evaluating you, they scouting you, but when they evaluating and seeing where you at compared to these guys and all that. So if he play, I would love him to play every last game, especially the ones in the Big 12. I would play him not 31 minutes. I'm not saying those mismanaged minutes, but I'm not playing you like that. You're not about to go from not playing to we're gonna act like you was never like hurt or, you know, you starting and you playing 31 minutes and you like, and he was telling them like, hey, I feel a little bit, but we're not trying to get to that point where we, you know, it's a pain threshold.
Yeah.
So I just think, hey, you're gonna play from the 20. If you start and you play 16 minutes, you coming out. You know, we're gonna manage this the right way. I'm not gonna let you play 31 minutes. I ain't saying he played 31 straight minutes, but like, you gotta get that hamstring loose and going and all of that. You can't sit on the sideline while everybody warm up, because you gotta get your muscles fibers. You gotta get those going. You can't just, I'm ready. You know what I'm saying?
I think Bill has a hard time with minute restrictions, and because I think he just, when he likes how things are going on the court and he thinks the guy's giving himself the best chance to win, I think it's really hard for him to take a guy out.
I don't know. But you got coaches. You got Curtis Townsend. Then you got Kurt, Jeremy, Self, Jock, Dooley, T. Bland. Couple more seats down, you got Doc Saller.
Doc.
Behind them, you got guys that's writing stuff down. You got KJ back there. You got my guy Andrew back there. And then you got, I forgot the young lady's name. That's the whatever. I forgot what she does. You know what I'm talking about. Director of basketball ops. I'm not saying she's keeping up with all that, but, and she has that much power. But it's a lot going on. Like, hey, coach, like Dooley got coaches here, you know, Jock and Case has coaches here. Yo, it's time for him to go. And Self is not as strong as he was back then, where it's like, I got it. I can run all of this, which he can. He does sometimes. I got it all. Nobody say nothing. I got it. He's not doing that. He's more like leaning to like listening to like people. He's a little different. He's definitely not the same guy we know.
Yeah, and I don't think he would have brought in a guy like Jock Vaughn if he wasn't like wanting input from his staff. Speaking of that, like, what do you think, as someone that's around the program, how does a guy like Jock Vaughn coming on board compared to, he's just a different type of coach compared to like Townsend and right. Robert, like he was coaching Kevin Durant, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? So like,
right.
Do you feel like that's changing anything, like how practices go? Or is he, I would love to see him like bring some different offensive, I don't know, style to the program, but right.
Have you heard anything about like if he has what he's kind of changed within the program since he's been here?
Coach Self is a different type of guy. So it's not much he's going to be able to, you know, he can recommend, he can write a couple of notes, slip them on Coach desk, you know, but to like actually change, nah, that's not saying that's a bad thing, but you just got to do it like when no one's looking, I guess. It's like, I got to go the extra mile to get the program moving forward, because it may not be, hey, do this. And coach going to be like accepting to that. Like, oh yeah. Okay, great. You played here in 99 or 96. Great. I'm going to listen to everything you're saying. Or you coach KD. Great. I'm going to listen to everything you're saying. Cause it's the difference between college and especially at KU. It's college and then it's pro stuff. So you want to like let the pro guys, if you have one or two, operate like a pro. Everybody else, we're going to do college, you know, which I don't think is the greatest thing, but Jock with Darren Peterson, that's where he comes in. You know, hey, the angle on it, you know, how to be a better player, not necessarily team stuff. Obviously, they all in there congregating and, you know, coming up with schemes and tactics and all of the stuff they do. But I believe if you got a scoring point guard, a good wing, and a lob threat, something has to happen. You know, I keep hearing offensively, we're not good offensively, or even the people on the media say they get stagnant. I just believe you got to be able to have something. Well, what are we really doing? Like, I'm going to ask you guys, what do y'all really think KU is planning to? Like, what are they doing when they come down? Just dribble drive, read and react? What do you guys see?
Oh, you're asking the wrong dude.
I don't know. I mean,
what do you think Kansas is usually doing? What are they doing now? What are they doing more this year than they did last year?
I think they're actually, like, I think Council is playing more, you know, to use the term Bill Self always used, playing more downhill. He's like more aggressive. He's getting into the paint. He's taking shots when they're there, whether or not they're always going to go in. I don't know, but I think this team just has more guys that are looking to score and looking to attack compared to last year. You had DeJuan who did not want to score, like just didn't look for a shot. KJ, who really wasn't, I mean, he was fine, but he wasn't a threat outside of 2 feet from the basket.
Five 10-foot floaters, lobs.
Yeah. And then Zeke was great, but he was kind of just a shooter. And so when you have KJ and DeJuan, that kind of hurts a guy like Zeke. And so I think this team's just, they're definitely better at attacking, playing, trying to get downhill, get aggressive, but it's still come. Like, I think about that UConn game.
Yeah, the last second.
It's just like it was a helpless feeling of like, who's going to go get a bucket right now?
Right.
Yeah, and Melvin was just pounding it, which that is one of my, I guess, worries about Trey White. Is I think he's an awesome player, but down the stretch, especially without DP, he hasn't really been hunting shots, and he's a guy who can get to the line. At least he showed it this year.
Yeah.
As well as anyone at KU for a couple, I mean, Bill talked about the last 2 years how they couldn't get to the free throw line. There's just guys that wouldn't attack and get downhill. So Trey has been pretty elite at getting to the line. But you think about the UConn game, I think he took 3 shots the entire game. Felt like he was kind of non-existent down the stretch against Duke. And then obviously Melvin against NC State, you probably want it in his hands, but it didn't feel like Trey was really involved offensively late in the game. So I trust, like, and he shot it a lot better this year than he did at Illinois. And so I trust Trey with the ball in his hands. I want it in his hands. I don't feel like Melvin needs to force.
Uh-uh. You're right. I think.
But Rio, are you kind of getting that just like Bill running the same sets for so long? Like, I mean, he has ran the same stuff and it works. Oh, wow. Like Bill's known to be one of the greatest X and O's guys out of the timeout guys. And I feel like that maybe it hasn't been as good the last 2 years, but maybe it was a personnel thing. Because last year, so many times late in games, they'd call timeouts. You come out and DeJuan would just pound it because you know he's not going to create, or he'd throw it out of bounds. So I don't know if it was a personnel thing, but – and, Ryan, I don't even know if you agree with that, but it felt like every time we'd come out of timeouts or try to run something late to tie it or win.
I get you. You definitely in the ballpark. Yeah. I ain't saying if you want to – on base or not, but you're in the ballpark. Just because I obviously my loyalty is to the program. But I would be honest. I got to be honest with y'all. I will be honest. I won't say it brutally. Maybe it all depends on what day it is, if I'm mad or not. But when I look at other teams, I see more spacing. I see more driving lanes. I see guys able to make a play. So if I'm getting trapped or a hard hedge and or you getting trapped and I'm the screener, it's just certain things that, okay, let me rewind this. So a few years ago when the year Grady Dick was there and
caller Jay Will.
Yep, Jay Will. It was just certain things that I would see, like if they, when they were preparing to play Duke, forces you baseline on the ball screens. They like push baseline on side ball screens. So they don't let you go middle. So they're trying to like do that to me. And I'm whatever, I forgot which player I was, you know. And I'm just like, it's a lot goes on with just you saying, hey, we're going to send you baseline. So just the tactical part. Get your chest on my shoulder and force me that way. Or if they in a hard hedge, me playing in Greece, I told them, like, you know, I played for one of the best defensive coaches. So obviously I have to know offensively. In Europe, though, not to my college or anything. So it's just certain things you got to know. Like if it's a hard hedge, short roll, throwback. If it's a trap, if I can beat it with a face pass, which is getting it from this wing to the next wing fast, like what Kansas used to do with the bigs, you know, with Shady and all of those, and Sasha, when you hard hedge, they kick it to the other big and they throw in a lob. They did that to Memphis a lot. Like, if I can get that pass, I break the whole defense down. So I'll just let them know, like, as a point guard, bro, like, you got to already know if they're hard hedge, get rid of it. Like, if I'm KJ last year and I know they hard hedging, I'm just going to short roll, get the ball. Now I'm playing 3-on-2, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever, 4-on-3. Yeah. And I just felt like they never was able to understand that aspect.
Yeah.
Walk them up the lane and do all this stuff with what D-Man used to have, Danny Manning used to do for guys like the Twins and Thomas and all of those guys. They don't really have that technique that can go in between the threads of in the layers of, no, this is what's happening. Like the David McCormick stuff, he'd have been better if you had a guy like Coach Manning or Wayne Simeon, like maybe one of the Morris twins. That helping those like little small things. It ain't just drop step hook. That ain't the game. It's not that easy. You know, I train people every day. That's the reason why I was a little late. So it's just those, that conversation that Danny Manning was able to have with Thomas Robinson, and you were able to see a really good product. If T-Rob was in at Kansas now, he wouldn't have been a fifth draft pick. He would have been a senior, you know. Mm-hmm. He would have been playing in Europe fast. He probably wouldn't have played in the NBA at all. So it's just those little small things that, like when me and the twins was there for like 3 days, we came back and we were able to give them some of the best work they were able to get within that short amount of time. And so, hey, take this and try to do what you can do, because when we come back, obviously we can do more, but we're not going to stick around. you know.
Why do you, I mean, that's always been a topic of conversation of Danny Manning. I mean, it really was an absurd stretch we had with the Twins, T-Rob, Cole Jeff Aldridge, Jeff Withey. Yeah. And then obviously Danny Manning goes, he becomes a head coach. Obviously he had to try that, didn't work out. Why do you think he's never come back? Do you think it's just timing, not having a spot on the staff, but just have a staff open up?
It's time. I mean, it's a lot of variables that can go into that now. But definitely timing is one. Two, it's like Coach Manning was really put on for Kansas as a player and as a coach. He's beloved. So it's certain ways you have to like go about that. So I can't just come like, hey, coach, I need a job. Like, it has to be like, you got to meet me somewhere. So it won't be just like, hey, coach, I want to come back. Yeah, sure, we'd love to have you, but we want to put you here. It has to be like, we have to meet each other on a certain level. And what D-Man, because you see what D-Man doing over there at Colorado. They didn't win a lot of games, but they bigs, they players are nice over there. I don't know if they're doing this year. I haven't really been following. But last year he put guys in the league and he give guys footwork and patience.
Yeah.
So patience is everything. I can do whatever I want to do. If I'm not patient enough, then because it's not just 1, 2, 3. Obviously. So when you see a guy like D-Man don't come back, it's just because things has to be right, or at least go about it the right way. And then everybody, Kansas is a hot commodity job. Like, it's a big time job. You can go from Kansas, you can go anywhere in college after Kansas, especially if things are going well.
A lot of former players trying to get on staff and stuff.
Oh my God, everybody trying to get on the staff.
Julian Wright.
Drew Wright wanted to get on the staff. I know y'all seen that. I kind of had to tell him, like, calm down, bro. Don't do yourself like that. Like, I understand what you mean. Like, you got a point, but it's just like, there's ways to go about it. Like, I rock with Julian. I always liked Julian. He was a junior when I was a sophomore in high school, and we played for the same AAU team. So I've been knowing Julian Wright since I was a sophomore. Really looked up to him as a player. You know, he was number one in the country. He was number one, for sure, number one player in the state. So I looked up to him. I watched him a lot. Like, we was on the road together, like, I played with 17 under and 16. So when I go over there, I'm just looking like those guys. You know, they're older than me. They ranked high. And, you know, so Julian Wright just is a guy, that passionate guy about the game that wanted to give it back a certain way. And I don't know if he went about it the right way, but everybody got love for Julian. And everybody's dealing with 2025 going into 2026, whether you're a basketball player, whether you're a doctor, whether you do construction, whether you're a garbage truck guy or media personality. Everybody's trying to like deal with 2025 and where the nation is, where people are in this world, period, mentally. Yeah. So definitely got to give grace to everybody, whether it's Coach Self, whether it's Darren Peterson, whether it's Julian Wright, whether it's the guys that's here. That's, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. How much do you think the lack of spacing has to do with the lack of shooters on the roster?
I mean, the beauty thing about basketball, whatever you take away, something opens up. You know what I'm saying? So if we can't shoot, we got to find a way to get something going. Whether we can – last year, I feel like they couldn't – they shot worse last year. I don't know. How did they shoot last year? Because I know – AJ didn't play it much, and his shot wasn't the greatest Ryland looking shot.
Ryland didn't shoot it well.
Ryan didn't shoot it well.
I think Zeke's probably the only guy on the roster.
The only person that – he wasn't supposed to start last year.
Exactly.
You know? So – and you can see that in this play once, like, hey, you doing really well, and now we're going to focus in on you. So it's going to be a physicality thing with – I should tell him, like, it's going to be a physicality thing with you. Like, if you trying to come off a handoff with Hunter – and they blow the screen up, they win. Because guess what? Now he has to reverse pivot and find DeJuan Dixon. And what are we going to get out of that? So I said, let him know, like, hey, bro, you got to really, really. But thing about it is I ended up leaving and never coming back until Big 12. So I felt bad, like I was going to come back and really work with what's the kid's name? Local kid again. I forgot his name.
Zeke.
Yeah. I was going to work with him. I was going to work with AJ, and then Riley could shoot it. His footwork wasn't great. Terrible footwork. Yeah. You got to be able to set your, you know, shot. His shot looked good, just his feet. He was always off balance and falling and all of that. So them two, and then just the way Zeke was had to use the ball screen, I was going to, you know, work on some things with him. But I've been telling since Juan was a sophomore, I've been telling the people on the staff, like, he has to develop a real good floater because he's trying to throw so many lobs. It's like, how stupid you think people are? Like, if he can get in the air and make a decision, like, I'm going to shoot the floater and throw the lob, that'll open his game up a little bit more. Obviously, him shooting. But I don't know if guys is really trying to get better like that. Like, Peterson, he in that gym. That's why I gravitated to him, because I extended my hand to everybody like, hey, Flo, you know, I used to play the same position as you, bro. Like, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Peterson, Trey, like, Trey made sure I still talk with Trey. Me and Trey talk mostly before every game just about how to, you know, navigate a lot. And then we're going to even do more now. So just be on the lookout for how he performed.
So I got a question for you, because I've always thought about this with looking back on when you were at Kansas. You were on some of the most stacked teams of the Self era. You've got the Morris twins, you've got T-Rob, got, you know, stacked teams.
For sure.
Have you ever thought about, because I've thought about this for you, what you would have looked like on some other Kansas teams?
For sure.
Like I legitimately think, like, if you put you on last year's team or
a few of those teams,
2012, even though 2012 was really good, they needed a scorer. But, like, I think you would have been like a
cooking something.
15 plus points a game guy.
Easily.
Yeah.
Ask Self about that. He'll tell you if he being honest. You know, thing is, so I didn't get a job in Europe until December 22nd, 2012. So I spent a lot of time with Kansas from whatever, October, September, whatever, to December. So I was able to, like, practice and really prepare them for, like, because I don't know if you guys remember, they didn't have a great-looking team.
Ben and Jamari were
Ben and Jamari didn't play, and the rest of those guys were like Kevin Young. He played hard. He came from LMU. They just play a different level of basketball.
Justin Wesley was so hard. Minutes.
Wesley was getting minutes versus
Tehan was the sixth man. Oh yeah, Maui
was like almost starting. Like, you know, Tyshawn was like figuring out, like, oh, Self is not going to, like, take me out or yell at me. So I can really, really, like, so he didn't really get that type of confidence until, like, January, December, when Tyshawn is like, oh, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to stay on the court. And then Elijah Johnson didn't really come into his own, you know. So I was on helping those guys out that year. It's been a couple years that me and Self or me and Dooley will be like, yeah, if you were on this team. But I just feel like that 2010 and 11 team, Self has just had his mind made up, man. Like, I don't know if you guys really, like, noticed. Playing in Kansas was easy for me. I just didn't play a lot of minutes. But it was always easy. Like, whatever we were trying to do, it wasn't hard for me. Huh?
I legitimately, all I remember is you making every shot you took. Like, I'm legitimately curious what your field goal percentage was that year, because
you probably know
it was crazy efficient.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty, like, it's like Self just had it in his mind that I only cared about scoring. I should try to let him know, like, bro, if I play more, I would do more. But if I'm getting 5 minutes here, I'm going to be like, I'm shooting the same shots you just told the Twins to shoot. Like, so I got to shoot and I'm making them. So it's like, I'll be 2 for 3 at halftime, 4 for 5 sometimes. And it's to be like, yeah, bro, try to do something else. And I'm just like, all right, you know, I ain't going to spill too much beans on that.
Well, you shot 50% from the floor your 2 years at Kansas. You shot 51% in the 08-09 season, and then 2010-2011, you shot 48. So basically averages out to 50. As a guard, well, I don't know. What would you even classify yourself as? I don't really
I didn't play the guard. Man, I came here to play the three. I could have played the two, but I came to play the three. Have you ever seen any of my stuff past Kansas, you'll be like, who is this guy? Like, even when they post like Mario Little Kansas, I cringe because I know that's not me. Yeah. So me making hook shots and all that, that's just, I cringe at stuff like that. Like if you seen like guys that be like, you played at Kansas, like, yeah, I was the number 23 guy that was on the size post. And they'd be like, no, I really can't believe this. Like, people would try to engage me in conversations about Kansas that I always ignore because of my loyalty and my love to the program and Coach Self. So I'll never go down that rabbit hole. I was on Tyshawn's pod before and he was trying to drag me down there, and I'm just like, bro, I'm not doing it. Like,
hey, ain't no seeds pods. The pod, you
yeah, people let nah, it spill. For sure. I'm rocking with it, but I played the four at Kansas. I played the three sometimes, you know, like I feel like I could have played it way more and then I'd have been able to score more, which would have led to easier passing. Like when Brady and Tyrell would like, and Brady was a great creator. He can shoot it. He can pass it. He can do a lot of things. Tyrell was more of a catch and shoot guy, post feed, ball mover. I just know if those guys were like the guys I was competing against, it'd have been easier to get on court. Mm-hmm. But the landscape was painted as I need to battle with the Twins, battle with Thomas and all these guys. I'm just like, come on. Like, I'm nice, but these guys are taller. Like, I'm 6'5", Twins are 6'8", and 6'9". T-Rob is 6'8", or if they want to say 6'9", 6'10", whatever they want to say. So it was an uphill battle. The practice was harder, but it was just so easy for me to score. It was just like the guy that y'all seen me on the court, was a guy that was playing like, if I make this shot, great. If I miss, or even if I make the shot, it's like, you ever seen Coach Carter when he was looking at the kid like, hey, you made the three, but transition I don't want to play like that. Yeah. So it was a little different. It's like, yeah, then I get the garbage points. A lot of times I have like 10 points. I remember at Baylor, I played 7 minutes. Thomas Robinson played 8 minutes, and the Twins were playing out their mind, right? So they deserved to play. I just thought there should be more time for everybody, right? We all was, you know, doing our thing. I had
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had 10 points in 7 minutes. T-Rob had like 2 points in 8 minutes. And he's so mad. He's threatening to leave, all type of stuff, right? And I'm just like, dude, I'm the one that should be mad. Like, I had 7 in 10 minutes, bro. Like, and I never forget getting on the plane. Coach met me and was like, dang, or you just find a way to get him up. I'm just like, what you want me to do, man? Like,
so
you had 7 minutes. I feel like I should be getting a handshake.
You had 17 points against Missouri at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
What happened? Did you get a lot of minutes? I'm trying to see how many minutes.
You had to come in smoking hot. I came in smoke. I came in like
3 for 3 from three.
It was like some godly stuff happening. Like if you really go down, like, cause I shoot it, go right in. I got a tip in like this. And I was like almost outside of the paint and it went right in. It just came over and I just tipped it like this and it just went in. So I'm just like, oh, it's one of those days. And as a player, you get so many of those, not so many of those. Those one of those games where I'm just like, yeah, every shot I take, I might make. So, you know, and I'm getting opportunity because we were struggling.
Yeah.
That game.
Well, to me, like the ultimate Mario Little memory is one, were you fouled in that UCLA game? Was that a foul?
No, I really was fouled. You know, I ran to those guys a couple of times as well throughout my pro career. It was a foul. Shitty called it, but he definitely fouled me. It was Malcolm Lee.
I can't even remember. So what? We threw a full court pass, right? Or
no, we didn't throw a full court pass. See, this is what used to happen. This is honestly what kind of same thing that happened when we played VCU. One of our guards, every time he take the ball out, it was just like panic mode. And they end up turning the ball over. Rest in peace, Tyler Honeycutt. He got the ball and he was smoking hot that game. Brady was on him. Brady told me not to switch. So I stayed home and then Marcus switched late. And he was hot. Made it three. They took it out. Marcus dribbling and I'm wide open. If you really look, I'm open. I'm like, if you kick it, I'm about to be Mario Chalmers in here. But he ended up, he tried to go for his. Ball found me anyway. And I seen Malcolm Lee coming. So I just grabbed it and I seen it. And, you know, obviously.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of like a loose ball type.
Yeah, Marcus dribbled it up and got the ball, tucking out it, plucked. And I got the ball. And funny thing is, I was in the game and Tyshawn dropped a dime on me. And I missed the layup. I got it back and went up again and missed, right? These guys are tall, so I can barely see the rim. So I remember Coach calling a timeout and cursing me out. So crazy, like, why do you gotta, like, play like that? Why you couldn't just, like, this, then, the third, right? It was just cooking me, right? And then as soon as I got that foul, he was like, yeah, but, like, winking his eyes, smacking me, like, yeah, but, yeah, you stud. I'm just like, dude, last time I was over here, you were just telling me how bad I was.
But
it was a good game.
Honeycutt had 33, by the way.
He had 33. And the we put him in the NBA. That game sent them to the NBA.
I mean, I was always impressed he made those free throws. Like, that's a crazy hard spot to be in. But Mario Little did it. He made shots.
Yeah, I never really – at the what I was battling wasn't like I'm nervous for the game or I'm nervous to do well. My battles were different, you know. So the game was never like, oh, I'm frantic. You know, I remember we was in the Big 12 tournament. We were playing Oklahoma State, and I was able to make plays then late while everybody was frantic and all of that. And I mean, it helped me throughout my pro career because fourth quarter, I always turned into a different person, or like end of the shot clock, I was always good at that professionally. So, I mean, it helped me out. So, like I said, great times at Kansas, could have been better. But yeah, I'm still lucky.
Unfortunately, we have an ongoing joke on this podcast that we bring up either 2011 VCU or 2017 Oregon every single episode. Somehow we weave it into a conversation because
right.
I think we're so scarred by those games. Because I still swear by, not to like pour salt in the wound, but like 2011 Kansas.
Yeah. The Twins were taking us forever.
The national championship. Like, I think you guys make the Final Four and win both games by double digits to win the national championship.
That title game was terrible.
We feel the same way. I just know Tyshawn Taylor and how when he come up against like people from New York or Jersey, he becomes the player that we all see him as when he's at his best. So I just know what he was going to do with UConn and Kemba Walker and all of that. You know what I'm saying? So I just think we would have beat UConn because of
Was Shabazz
on that
team?
We matched up. Who?
Shabazz Napier
was – he probably was. I think Jeremy Lamb was there maybe.
I think DeAndre the final score Daniels. Of that – It was DeAndre Butler.
Daniels was there too.
Butler, UConn. It was like 50.
No, I don't think DeAndre 41. Was that. That wasn't 2014, was it?
Oh, maybe I think Daniels played with.
Shabazz. He played. When they played Kentucky. With
Napier and the guy from Chicago, Ryan.
Boatwright.
Boatwright.
Yeah. They played Kentucky in the championship, I think.
Yeah. But no, I think we'd have beat them. But what do you think about? I understand the Oregon game, but what about 2010, bro?
Wow, dude, that's the most talented team. Iowa.
We're number one in the country, though.
Yeah, we gotta ask you about that team because I just from being around like Ty, Sharon. I can get over that loss more now because the way they talk about that group is kind of like they butted heads all year. Or I know some stuff was going on with Carl Henry saying shit about CJ and how he's better than Sharon. Xavier had to be a one and done because that was Bill's like first big time.
Yeah, sure, he had to.
So he had to get him looks, and that was Sharon's final year. He came back for that year, supposed to be his team. So
there's a lot going on. I mean, what were you going to say, Ryan, before I comment?
Well, I was just going to add to that because I think a lot of KU fans think that 2010 team was the one that had the biggest missed opportunity, which they did. But like to me, after you know having conversation with Tyshawn on this show and Sharon and others, like that 2011 team seemed like the closer knit.
Yeah,
ready
sure.
to win a national title team than the 2010. So, like, weirdly, I've gotten more over Northern Iowa, and that VCU game hurts more. But they both hurt really bad because neither team hurt. Had business.
But at the time, I think you and I hurt me more. Like, Sharon's an all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Like, seeing that him was, go that was, that and not make tough. The second weekend. You guys lost what, like two, three games before that?
Oklahoma State? Yeah, that was State. Our third game we lost. Those years, we didn't lose many games. Like, my last year was 2011. I think we lost three games, right?
Yeah, we went, what, you guys went 66-6 over 2 years, I think, and didn't.
Yeah.
That just sucks. Like,
that's I know, bro. And when you get close, the VCU hurt because we were close. Like, it's one more game. It's not like another weekend, you know, like it was with
you guys were 35-2 before the VCU game.
And it was crazy
33-2 before you and I.
And that's one time I was like, I don't know, coach, like he panicked. You know what's crazy is nobody knows this. The only players talk about this. So look, we the game before that was Richmond. And Richmond was doing this little thing where they were like getting themselves like, you know, turned up.
In the tunnel.
And, yeah. And we like me, Twins, and T Robert in the back. You know, you got Elijah, you got Tyshawn, and you got Josh Selby. Put a star right there by the name, Josh Selby. Josh Selby up there in the front. We like, yo, what's taking y'all so long? Like, we got to get out to the court. We got, you know, we locked in. And then we look and see what was going on, right? So we kind of got into like a little, you know, a little, I don't know, altercation with them. So we ended up getting through, right? So we ended up meeting their energy. Their energy was like, forget y'all. So our energy was like, all right, it's more than just X and O. It's about something extra. So we ended up winning that game. The next day we didn't get the best press on that. So we had to battle press. We had to battle an angry coach. And that kind of made our demeanor a little different the next game, which should have been forget everybody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So instead of like celebrating, like
was there a sense of overlooking VCU too?
We wasn't overlooking. We were just like, first thing Marcus said to them dudes, there ain't no more Cinderella. That Cinderella shit over with, right? But they came out and matched us. So it was like 6-6. We went on a little run. They went on a run. It was like literally like 6-6. 6-8. I remember Coach Self saying, yeah, we're going to lose this game. We like, what you want? Like, what's and then I sub in, I make a move and I get like whatever need or whatever. I'm being real detailed and I reverse pivot and I stepped out of bounds. When I say I look up and I couldn't believe I was coming out. And like the game before, they had like 8 or 10 points on Richmond, which was all like quick shots. Like, I'm in here too. Everybody's cooking, I'm cooking as well. Like 10 points. But so I just couldn't believe like the way the team was playing. And when he usually put me in, like that is usually like, all right, go ahead, do your thing. So once he did that, subbed me out, and I was like, oh, he panicking a little, not panicking, I take that back. Whatever word I can use that's better than panic. He was just a little different that game.
Was a little different. And I think we've talked to Tyrell Reed about this, but like in those moments where you're the favorite, the crowd, even though it probably was more KU fans in the building, but then those other fan bases start to turn on you, or just the casual fan, you start to just feel that upset. The whole building changes, and mm-hmm. I don't know, like that. You definitely could tell that there was panic setting in that game, and I think VCU was just a weird, different style of team.
Even
Shaka and a ton Smart. Of momentum.
A ton of momentum. Even Shaka Smart. He's like one of the players. He's like one of the players on the court. There, like real active. And 6-8. That's how we wanted to be. Like how they can be now is how we always wanted to be. Like, let us be ourselves. I would have loved for me, Marcus, Keith to be on the court. Like, we probably did that one time the whole season. Both of the twins, me at the 3. Maybe Brady or Tyrell at the 2, and then Tyshawn at the 1. We never tried any of those lineups. It was just like me, twins, Thomas, all, you know, basically fight for 2 spots. Then you got Jeff, who wasn't going to get no time there. And that was basically it that could, you know, compete for that spot. Yeah. I just think that's one thing I thought we should have been better at. Like, if we can play, let's see how it look with me, Tyshawn, Selby, and the twins. You know, I just feel like if you get some type of flow in that, that's a hard team to beat. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, Tyrell and Brady are great Jayhawks, and they deserve everything that they got. You know what I'm saying? But I just was curious to see, like, let's see, like, not just the twins, Brady, Tyrell, and Tyshawn. Let's just try to mix it up a little bit to see something a little different. If you got a guy like Selby, which
– what was the deal with him that year? Was he just banged up throughout the year? I forget.
It was just so much back and forth with – I just feel like it was unnecessary stuff. But it was a different time, you know. It's 2011. It's not like if Selby was in 2016, anything. This is like, hey, we're going to let you really be you, you know? So it's just a whole bunch of, like, you know, unfortunate cases that could have been, you know, a little bit better. Is the Brennan Green, is that year they were on the team, is that the year you're talking about with Oregon?
It was Josh Jackson's.
Josh Jackson, Frank Mason, Devontae Graham.
Yeah, I think that was that year. I always say, when you got a team like that, something you got to, you know, and it's tough to win, but you got to be a little bit more successful when you got those type of guys. Like, even with Wiggins and them and Perry Ellis and all of that, it's like, you should be able to beat Stanford. You know what I'm saying? I know Stanford zoned in on this, and then I just felt like
Wiggins had how many?
Right? The wrong people were in the middle breaking that down.
4 points against Stanford. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just feel like if coach would let Perry be in the middle and play that zone instead of like Jamari, like Jamari's not a, you know, he don't have the same touch as Perry or the same passing ability and all that. He's a, you know, a dog. So I feel like that was an unfortunate loss as well, that they could have got past Stanford.
I just looked at the VCU game, 2 for 21 from 3. And I didn't realize, right, we were 15 for 28 from the line. That's like the Syracuse national title game from 03. 15 for 28?
That, to me, is just...
Two for 21 from three is impossible.
That's a mental thing. Like, there's no way that team... That team had way too good of shooters to go 2 of 21 like that.
Wow, Selby got threes up, 0 for 3.
Yeah, I didn't score that game either, but it's just like the momentum.
Only 5 minutes.
Selby?
You only got 5 minutes.
Right.
Elijah played six. I didn't even think Elijah played on that team much.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to go with his six, which was Thomas, got in foul trouble. And the twins, Brady Tyrell and Tyshawn. But what really cooked us was, if you actually go back, and I never seen the game, but if you actually go back, we were down 14 and a half. So we were about to tie the game up. I don't know if you guys remember, Markeith got a rebound, and he outletted it to Tyshawn. Tyshawn caught the ball. And as he's dribbling, the referee blew the whistle and was like, no, he stepped out of bounds. And I still to this day, I haven't seen it, but I don't think Keith stepped out of bounds. But that would have been a tie ball game, which would have done, like, we would have just tied it.
Yeah.
But what happened after that was, I think Tyrell, man, broke for a three and made a three, and that cooked us. And Tyrell missed a lot of threes because a lot of people don't know Tyrell was hurt.
Yeah.
His heel, he had a messed up heel that he was battling. And yeah, he was
1 for 7.
Yeah. And we just kept running the same plays, and he just couldn't buy one. That was the only game he really couldn't buy one. Any other game, he was just big shot Tyrell.
Right. So
we were 11-point favorites.
I'm sick too. Still, which, I'm more sick now.
We always do this, but this is just part of the badge of honor of coming on Ain't No Seats, is you got to have a
be depressed
about those games. But we never let you answer, like, which game shocked you or hurt you the most, Northern Iowa or VCU?
You were on the floor for the UNI one.
I was really bought into that group, man. That shot, because it was SDOT, man. Like, obviously, I'm a senior, but I was so hurt the year before with NIU that I couldn't even really react to the VCU because I was like, I just couldn't believe it. I think, what's his name? Falkenstein or whatever his name was, that kid's name?
Farouk Manesh.
Farouk, yeah, yeah. He
Falkenstein.
I don't know what his name
is. I'm calling him that for now on.
Yeah. He was.
Fuck him.
That hurt. And then that guard that was guarding Sharon. Sharon, that was the first game that I ever seen that we got to pick Sharon up. Somebody got to pick Sharon up. And then it was a big that hit like
the
three
tall,
big three.
Like farm boy making three pointers early in the
and
game.
They, and he was like, up until that all point, lucky. He only made like two threes.
Yeah.
All season.
Yeah. So that was a hurt piece. I just couldn't believe, like,
bro, he really shot a three with 34 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah, that cooked us.
Like 2-on-1 transition.
What shot was with VCU?
Oh god,
dude!
I think I know. It was a three. It was a three, right? I think it was one of the like the wings or something hit a three on Tyshawn. I mean, not Tyshawn, on Tyrell or Brady.
Oh, because that Jamie Skeen had 26.
Skeen was cooking.
All their other starters were in single digits.
Yes. Skeen was cooking. He was like the undersized five man, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he had 10 boards.
That little guard wasn't bad either. I forgot his name. Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Falkenstein.
They didn't even have no good, like, team.
No,
they
had some... suck. I hate Shaka for that.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of him, but I like his energy and what he do for his team. Like,
he hadn't
I like
done
him,
shit
no.
since.
I hate. I don't even like. I don't like VCU though. I ran into a few VCU guys. Like, what's this dude name? I used to play in the G League, and I used to try to strap his boots every time. His name was. He played in the NBA too. And he averaged like 20 points in the G League. And every time we played, the most he ever had was 12. I used to be on him. So what is his name?
Didn't he have a guy like Travion Graham or something?
Travion Graham was I think he was like more like
Eric taller. Maynard?
No, Eric Maynard was back in a while ago.
Yeah, that was the dude that beat Duke in 2006 with Josh McRoberts.
Yeah. Now he was cooking.
Larry Sanders?
Nope, Larry Sanders wasn't there. They had two guards, and they had a guard off the bench that didn't play that much, but he ended up going to the NBA. Played with the Rockets. I don't know his name. I forgot, honestly.
But Troy Young played like Weber?
He played like two more years after that, but he was on that team, though.
Oh, on the 2011 team?
He's on the 2011 team, but he played like two more years after that and ended up getting maybe drafted to the Houston Rockets. Maybe he didn't get drafted, but he made the team. What is his name? Troy Daniels.
Wow. I did not know Troy Daniels was on that VCU team.
Yeah, I used to go.
You had him in hell?
Him used to clash a lot because we had some battles. I was able to really be who I really was before I came to Kansas. So I was a different type of player. But yeah, that was a tough time. Driving back from wherever we were, that VCU game was.
Wasn't it in San Antonio?
VCU was in San Antonio, which we thought we had some Jayhawk luck. Like it was written that we wanted we back in the dome. So
yeah, but Northern Iowa was Oklahoma City, I think.
Northern Iowa probably was. All I do know is it was tough, bro. It was tough.
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, I got to go take care of the baby.
Yes, sir.
But if you guys want to keep going, you can.
Or we can do something next week.
Let's do something next week, man. We were just kind of just talking, so we can probably have a little bit more, some structured and build off that. Yeah.
All right. Well, no.
Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
It's fire, man. I got this food right here, man. I've been trying not to eat,
Oh, wow.
Someone asked.
Well, hey, it's actually an inside joke on the pod. The listeners, our other co-host, AB, who's not here right now, they always ask him what he's having for dinner. And he goes into deep detail on what he's having for dinner. So there have been some people in the chat saying, what's Mario Little having for dinner?
I ain't going to lie. I'm having kava right now.
Ooh.
I got a little braised lamb.
We've been making you wait for an hour and a half.
Yeah. And I'm gonna go put it to work, man. Heat it up a little bit, but a little braised lamb, a little rice and a little greens.
There you go. That's what people like to hear.
Yeah, man. Rock chalk and let's do it again.
Yep. All right. Appreciate you coming on, listeners. Yes, thank you guys for joining, and we'll see you guys soon. Rock chalk.